This is Reagan Seiler with the Bristow Historical Society in Bristow, Oklahoma. This interview is part of the Historical Society's ongoing oral history project. The date is July 18th, 2024, and I'm sitting here with Helen Marie Varner and her daughter-in-law, Cheryl Varner, at the Bristow Library Annex. She's going to tell us a little bit about her life and her history living in the Bristow area. Can you please state your full name?
Helen Marie Varner.
And do I have permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us when and where you were born?
Yes, in Sapapa, Oklahoma, of course.
Okay.
25 miles from here.
Okay. And what was your what's your date of birth?
7/3/37.
So you just had a birthday, didn't you?
I did. I'm 87.
And I have to say that whenever I learned that and you gave me your birth date when we had our phone interview, I thought you gave me your date wrong. The date, I thought, there's no way she can be 87 years old.
I am.
So I think you are doing good.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the people in your family? Let's start with your parents. What are your parents' full names?
My dad's name was Gilbert Johnston, and my mother's name was Helen Lucille Bristol Johnston.
Okay, and I understand that, did your dad go by Gibb?
Gibb, yeah.
Okay. And I have his date of birth as 10/8/1913.
That's right.
Okay. And then your mom, she went by Sassy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I have her birth date as 8/8/1920.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And then do you have any siblings?
Yes, my brother Sam Everett Johnston, and he's in Sapapa at the Farmer's Feed Store.
Okay. Okay.
And he's been there about 30 years.
Okay.
Since 1980, in the 1980s.
So you just have one
brother.
Okay. Okay. What type of work did your parents do?
My dad was road foreman or road supervisor first for, well, he mowed the highway with a team of horses.
Oh my gosh.
And then he went to work for Buster Hudgens, who was the county commissioner for Creek County. And then he went to work for Mr. Barnhart, who was also a county commissioner. So he was the road boss for two different people.
Okay.
And then he bought the sale barn in Okmulgee in 1964.
Okay.
And
how long did you guys, or did he have the sale barn in Okmulgee?
He sold it in December of 69.
Okay. And did your mom work outside the home, or did she just
No,
work in
she
home?
Didn't.
She just worked
But
in
now school. She ran the cafe both at Okmulgee and here in Bristow.
Okay. Okay. So growing up, did you have family that lived nearby you?
Oh, yeah. Both grandparents, my aunts and uncles. It's always been very close.
Very close. So grandparents on both sides?
Yes.
Okay, and aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
How has your family, well, obviously you started off in Sapulpa, so how long has your family been in the Bristow area?
We moved here in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Sam and Kay, they still live in Sapulpa.
Okay. And so tell me why they moved here.
My dad popped off and bought and sold the sale barn at Okmulgee.
So he popped off.
Explain
that further, but he popped off.
He popped off. Somebody said, well, you take for it. And my dad opened his mouth and said it. And he said, sold.
And so they took him up on it.
You don't back out on your word. No matter how bad you want to.
Right, right. So then from there, he was like, I need another sale barn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he found Bristow.
It had been, I was trying to think the other day, I don't know if Doyle Matthews was involved, Mr. Foster, and Leon Devine. And I really don't remember who actually owned it at the time that Dad bought it.
And you were how old around this time?
Whatever.
None of us are good at math.
See, I think not. You caught me off guard. I think I was 27 when I went to work at.
What was that? Were you at the gas? I mean, at the glass plant.
Oh,
that was before, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was 19 when I went to work there. At
Bartlett
Collins.
So you were a teenager then when your dad
Well, no, I was married with three kids by the time Dad bought
it. Okay, gotcha. All right. So let's talk about your early childhood and your home life. We're going to dig real deep now.
Okay.
Do you remember any of your favorite toys from your childhood or favorite games that you played?
Well, I was like a tomboy, so we had little holsters and guns, and we played cowboys and Indians.
Oh, that's funny.
And rode horses. And I had dolls. I had one friend that we played dolls with.
Okay. Did you have chores that you were expected to do?
Basically, we had to help milk cows if he had a cow to milk. My dad also dealt in livestock. Mm-hmm. So if you had some goats to feed, you fed the goats or whatever we were told that day.
So basically, you just had to help around your farm doing whatever needed to be done.
Yeah.
But you did have chores. You had stuff you had to do.
We had to do all. Draw water from the well.
Oh, gosh.
Drank water out of a pail with a dipper.
Oh, gosh.
Had a bathtub in the kitchen. And Sam took the bath first, and then me, and then Mama, and then Dad.
Same water. Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. So growing up, so this was in Sepulpa whenever you were this age. So did you have friends that would come over and play, or were you too, like, busy with your chores and working around?
No, my mom and dad always had people there a lot of times for supper. Okay. Or you had hard hands that were there. My mom fed at noon. We had friends that came over. While they would play pitch or whatever, we would play outside. Just like I said, cops and robbers or that kind of stuff.
Okay. Did you have any favorite activities or hobbies as a child?
Barrel racing.
So you were a barrel racer.
So not the best, but I was one because my dad, if you had a good horse and somebody wanted to buy it, he sold it. So I was put on a lot of different horses a lot of different times.
Love it. And so how long would you say you barrel raced?
Oh, I was probably 15 till, no, I would have been younger than that, 12 to 18.
Okay, all right. Did you collect anything as a child?
No.
No? You were always outside playing, were you?
Yeah.
So let's talk about your school life. Where did you first attend school?
Okay, Lone Star School, 2-room, really? Outside toilet. We had one through four, and then 5 through 8.
Okay. And then from there, where did you go?
Sepulpa High.
To Sepulpa High School. Okay. So did you graduated from Sepulpa, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Did you have any influential teachers that you can recall that might have made an impact on you during that time?
No, not in high school. Mr. and Mrs. Sykes were teachers at Lone Star, and I'd say they were strict, kind, honest, and people looked up to them.
And so what did they teach? What classes did they teach you?
The whole thing.
Oh, okay. So they just kind of did it all.
Yeah, the lady teacher taught the smaller classes, and then Mr. Sykes taught the older kids.
Okay. All right. Do you remember how you got to school as a youngster?
Mom and Dad either drove us. A time or two we rode a horse, but not often. And quite a few times we'd have to walk home from school.
Okay. And how far of a walk was that?
Probably 2.5 miles.
Oh, maybe. My goodness. You know, kids nowadays would be like, what in the world?
Yeah.
So, like in high school, were you a member of any clubs or organizations?
No.
Busy on the farm, I'm guessing?
Probably not really, but just basically didn't really fit in because I was the country girl.
Oh. Okay.
So I really didn't.
Weren't involved as much in school?
In nothing.
So did you enjoy school or?
Oh, well, I always made good grades at school.
Okay. But you just, was it, would you have rather?
But not outside, not no outside activities at all.
Okay. All right. Did you have a favorite subject?
Math.
Math, really? Okay. That's interesting.
Fit right in.
That was my least favorite subject.
Me too. And then we had the silver.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you kind of mentioned your house. Can you tell me about the house that you grew up in, like what it was like?
Well, it was just a four-room house, and we had a wood stove. But we also had one gas stove, and we had heavy blankets, and Mama used to heat bricks to put at our feet in the wintertime.
Wow.
No water. I already told you we had water out of the bucket.
So how long did it take before you had like inside
14.
Plumbing? You were 14?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. And I bet that was like the greatest day
Heaven.
Ever. So did they have to, so did you, I guess you had like an outhouse? Or?
Oh yeah, a two-holer. Have you ever heard of a two-holer?
I have not heard of a two-holer.
Well, it was a two-holer.
We'll let everybody figure out what that means. Oh, that's funny. So then I guess at that time, once you got indoor plumbing, did they like build a bathroom in your house?
Well, we actually moved into a different house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the house that we had lived in was a rental. Okay. And then my mom and dad bought the house and then put the bathroom in.
Okay. So did you have your own room?
Yes.
You did? Okay. And where did you spend most of your time?
Outside.
You're mainly out. But that's the general consensus of probably your generation is we were always outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what were meal times like in your family? Did you get together every night and sit down to eat dinner?
Yes.
Okay. So who, like, would... Was your mom like a fabulous cook?
Oh, she was a great cook.
Okay. Is that where, because, I mean, obviously we all know that you're a heck of a cook too. Is that where you?
Yeah, my mom. And eventually Jerry's mom, she was a great cook too.
Okay. So did they, did you?
And my grandmas were great cooks. Yeah, both of them.
So were you interested when you were young in cooking, or did they kind of drag you in there and teach you?
Oh, I don't think it was any of a matter of you were in there and you did whatever mother said, and you did the dishes like she said. So
right.
It wasn't a matter of whether you wanted to do it or not.
But on the cooking side of it, do you think that that's where, I mean, did you find interest in cooking as a young person, or did it take until you got older? I mean, obviously I know you had to help when you were young, but
I don't really remember, but I think I probably just always enjoyed it.
Always enjoyed cooking. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember having like a favorite meal or a favorite recipe?
Roast beef.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we liked.
And do you cook that same recipe?
Still do.
Day
before yesterday.
Okay, well, thinking about, do you remember how old you were when you moved to Bristow?
I don't remember how old I was, but whatever.
Roughly. So were you?
I was married with three kids.
Okay,
I remember
you were married
that. Well, Sam and Jeff was in the first grade.
Okay. So do you, thinking back to like town life around Bristow, do you have any like memories of favorite community activities, like, you know, Western Heritage Days, county fairs, day camps, stuff like that? Do you have any memories of that? Even if it's like with your kids.
Of course, the kids got into sports immediately. But at the sale barn, we had like Ben Kemp, we had the T. Reed McCullis boys. All these kids worked for us, mm-hmm. starting out. Mm-hmm. And so there was always people around, and all of that was fun, and you got involved with the parents in that way.
Okay, all right. Do you remember some of the biggest and or most popular businesses around town? Like
J.C. Penney's is in the old Roots building.
We had a J.C. Penney?
Oh, mm-hmm. You did.
It was a big one.
Yeah, upstairs and downstairs. Really nice.
And it was in which building? The
Roots building.
How do I not know that? I should have known that.
And Strong's had a shoe store.
Okay.
And then we had Mrs. Stanford, who had the dress shop, yeah. And she had nice things too.
And Harvard's Jewelry.
Uh huh. Oh, Harvard's. Oh, yeah. And they were. And then we had Silver's Jewelry. We had Anthony's for a little while, and then
Montgomery Ward.
Yeah, we had Montgomery Ward.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like
Oklahoma Tire and Supply.
It seems like during my generation, everything kind of faded away. Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, Walmart didn't help.
Yeah, it didn't help anything. So did you have a favorite place to eat out?
We didn't eat out very much.
It didn't sound like you needed to. It sounds like all the cooks were at your house.
No, they were. We basically ate at home.
Always ate at home. Okay.
Or at the sale barn.
Okay. So as far as growing up and as a teenager, do you remember getting to like shop for clothes? Did your family make your clothes?
You really want me to tell you this?
I really want you to tell me. I really do.
Okay, so we were in the country, and so my dad would buy feed sacks that were the same, and then my mom would make me clothes out of those feed sacks.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
That had to have been terribly uncomfortable, though.
Oh, it wasn't uncomfortable.
And Did she line it with anything?
No, but, well, you wash it, and it was just like fabric.
Well, I guess
they had some nice fabrics back then.
Oh. Goodness.
And you did that, and
so how often would you say that you got new clothes?
Oh, she was buying that stuff, doing that all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So quite a seamstress then.
Yeah, she was.
Wow.
Yeah, she was.
And how long would you say that went on? Like, till what age did you ever get to like go and buy clothes at a store?
Actually, well, it really started when I started high school, I think. Well, I had jeans, you know, because I was riding a horse all the time, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I'm sure I had shirts, but for a dress or anything like that, it was feed sack dress.
So how did you feel about that, or did you really know any different?
I didn't really know any different until I got in high school.
And then
I knew.
did it make you feel different or?
I guess I was kind of disgusted with, I'd never been around, everybody was on the same level, and I'd never been around snotty little girls.
Right. Because where you came from, everyone was...
Oh, yeah, you didn't think about stuff like that.
That's unfortunate. Do you remember your first family car? What kind of car it was?
Oh, we didn't have a car for a long time. We had a 2-ton truck or a pickup.
So always trucks.
I think until, I don't remember. It would have been while we were in Okmulgee.
Okay. And who usually took you places? Your mom?
Mom and dad.
Both of them?
Well, one or the other.
One
just
or
who
the
was,
other.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you get to take any vacations or anything like that at that time?
No, you didn't.
Didn't get to take vacations, huh? Who taught you how to drive?
Jerry.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So how old were you when he taught you how to drive?
16.
Okay, well, that's not as bad. Okay. So you knew him young then? You knew him when...
16.
Okay. And do you remember what your first car was?
Yeah, Jerry's dad gave it to us. It was an old Buick that I thought was the ugliest thing in the world. I don't remember what model it was.
Was it big?
No, it was little.
Oh, it was little.
And ugly.
Okay. What sort of entertainment did you enjoy growing up? Did you get to watch TV? And if you did, like...
Well, we didn't have TV.
You didn't have a TV.
Well, until we got electricity. And then in the 14, of course, we had Ted Mack and the original Amateur Hour. And we went to my grandma's, Grandma Johnston's. And that's where we went. I think it was on Tuesday nights. And that's where all the cousins by the dozens and everybody came to see that.
I love it. So tell me again, what was the show called?
Ted Mack and the Original Amateur Hour.
I'm pretty familiar with old shows, but I don't know that one.
You're not that old.
I used to watch a lot of old stuff when I was a kid. So do you recall, I know that it took a while to get, you know, electric and all of that, but do you recall any pivotal events in history that you saw on TV?
Well, the most outstanding thing that I saw was the day that John F. Kennedy got murdered.
So you recall actually watching about that
on
TV?
We were at my aunt's and seeing that on TV.
Did you see it? Did you see it live, or was it after, like, broadcast after the fact?
I don't remember what. Of course, it was such a constant thing. I don't remember. Just remember we were there when it came over. Well, it came over the broadcast, so yeah. Evidently it was live.
Right. So do you remember how you felt at
terrible.
That time?
I loved him.
Yeah. So it was.
I thought he was a great president.
Right. Okay. Did you enjoy listening to music?
Oh yeah, country.
And so, like, who were some of your favorite artists?
Oh, Ernest Tubb. I can't think of them right now. Whoever sang great songs at the Grand Ole Opera.
Okay.
Minnie Pearl.
Oh yeah. Okay. What was medical care like growing up? Did you have a family doctor?
Oh yeah, Dr. Walter Kale. And he was great, delivered all my kids, made house calls, perfect doctor.
Those were the days, huh?
Yes.
Do you recall any serious illnesses or like epidemics or anything that you experienced growing up or through your lifetime?
No, we had the mumps and chicken pox and measles. And
all the normal?
All that stuff, yeah.
Okay.
And took our polio shots when they became where you could get them.
Okay.
That was kind of a thing. You lined up at school and done that.
Okay.
With parents and all.
And that's the one that left the little circle, right? On your arm? Because my mom had one.
Yeah. That's not what that was.
That's not what that was. What was that?
That was...
a different vaccine?
Is that the measles?
I think it was the chicken. I don't know. But Mama's was real deep. But mine wasn't. Huh. I can't remember what it was.
Interesting. Did you attend church growing up?
No.
You didn't? Okay. So tell me what celebrating holidays was like in your family. Was it like a big deal, like Christmas?
It was a big deal.
Okay, so can you tell me about like a typical Christmas growing up whenever you were a kid?
We usually went to my Grandma Johnston's, and my mom picked up pecans to sell so that we could have Christmas.
So everyone got gifts?
Well, we got gifts from my mom and dad, but I mean, my Grandma Johnston was able to give everybody, might be a pair of panties or not very much, but we all got a present.
Everyone got a present. So was it did you cook a big meal?
Oh,
I'm guessing, and had
my grandma's cooked big meals and big everybody meal. Got together. And it was a requirement. You didn't not go.
You didn't not go. Did you celebrate were any other holidays a big deal in your family, like 4th of July or Easter or Halloween or anything?
Well, at Easter we had Easter egg hunts, but it wasn't a giant thing with everybody together. Like, over the years, we ended up with lots of people, maybe 100 people, doing all kinds of stuff all the time. But back when I was young, you couldn't afford to do that anyway.
And it was so for your family's main, and it was mainly Christmas that was your big exciting holiday of the year. Okay. So as a child, do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Oh heck, probably a cowboy.
A cowboy with your six shooter. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the different jobs you've had during your life.
Okay.
Tell me.
The first thing I did was I worked at a little grocery store.
And this was in Sepulpa?
Yeah, okay. Just about 2 miles from me. And we had known the man that owned it for all my life. And then my friend Francis Carpenter worked at Bartlett Collins. So she suggested I go out there, and I got a job. And so I did that when I had Sammy. Got pregnant with John, had to quit at that time, 6 months. You could only work till 6 months. Had him, went back to work, and then got pregnant with Jeff. And by that time, after that, I didn't go back to work until we moved to Okmulgee.
Okay. And then you helped at the stockyards and all.
Yeah, I ran the office.
Ran the office. Okay. And then I know you told me after this situation with your dad popping off and sold the Okmulgee stockyards that he purchased the Mid-America at Bristow.
Yes.
And that was, you told me, 1969, and then you had the first sale in February of 70.
That's right.
And then, so tell me about the stockyards.
Okay, so it started out, I think we had, it was the worst winter you've ever seen.
Of course.
And there were... There was snow everywhere, and I heard somewhere there was like 20 welders, and I don't know, I guess that was right, because we had every welder around here trying to build pens to have our first sale.
Because to understand, when you first bought it, or when your dad first bought it, it wasn't what it is now.
Oh my gosh, no.
So there, a lot of work had to be done.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Forever and ever.
Never ending.
We had only the two front rooms, the two front buildings is all that was there. So all the pens and the bleachers, everything had to be built. So that was what we did.
So then you had your first sale in February of 70.
Yeah.
Can you tell me like what a typical day was at the...
At the very first, we probably had, the first sale we had over 1,000 head, which was, we thought, unheard of. And then we had 400 or 500, and then it got to be bigger and bigger. And in August 8th of 1970-something, we had the biggest sale we ever had. We had over 3,000 head. The highest market that we'd ever had in the history, our history.
Wow.
So, my dad was made Small Businessman of the Year in
1973. I knew you had mentioned that, but I didn't have
and
the date.
Actually, Tracy Kelly was the one that...
And that was in Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
Small Businessman, or Businessman of the Year
for Oklahoma.
In 1973. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what an honor.
It was. And then in 1975, the British Broadcasting Company done a story on Tom Paxton. Do you know who Tom Paxton was?
I don't.
Okay, he was a singer that sang, he was so famous in England. And his mother was still living here. And they came and they done a great...
Right here, you mean in the United States or in Bristow?
Right here in Bristow.
Oh, okay.
But he was a great singer. And for some reason, somehow, we got involved in all this filming. So they really did a lot of filming of our family.
Yeah.
Well, me and Jerry, my grandma and granddad Bristow, my grandma Johnston... the McMillans, Lois and Harry.
And tell me again what the date, the year of this was?
1975.
So basically the story was about him, but it ended up encompassing
all the music with that, yeah. Oh,
okay.
So we did all this stuff to the music. They had the films there, and they had, they were there on Monday. They had the people riding the horses, and all this was great fun. And we had, in fact, we all have a film of it, but it's real old. And Bill Shattuck went to get this film, and it was at the Bristow Library, and the film was missing. and is still missing today.
Oh, so there's no...
Well, it's a old...
like a real...
Like the cuts.
Like a projector type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does this exist? Does anybody have a copy?
Yes.
Well, that might be something that the Historical Society would like a copy of, possibly, if there's a way to do it.
Oh, there should be a way to do it, because we took it over to that place on Sheridan and 71st.
Yeah. And had it.
And had it. Jerry had one made for each one of our kids.
So I'm going to make a note of that, because that might be something that we would like to have.
Do you remember
have.
The name of it?
It was something Tom Paxton. Maybe the tale, I really don't remember the name, Cheryl.
So, as far as a normal day at the stockyards, what did that look like for you? Like, what were your responsibilities working there?
Basically, we had horse sales on Monday nights. You were there early. We helped cook. Tuesdays, you did the banking. Wednesday and Thursday, not much. Fridays, we had lunch. Saturdays, I was always there at 6 o'clock in the morning. We didn't miss work. Mm-hmm. Nobody missed work.
Not an option.
Not an option. You didn't call in sick. If you were sick enough to die, go ahead and die.
You better be dying.
I feel like that might be a characteristic that has been lost these days.
Yes.
Not in this family.
Well, no, not in this family, but I mean in general, people don't have that same work ethic anymore.
And see, I don't understand that.
Yeah. I bet you don't.
My mom and dad, you know, my dad, if he told you to get in the truck, you got in the truck. You didn't go do this or that or
question it.
You got in the truck.
Yeah, you just got in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was raised that way. So I don't understand.
Any other way than that.
A lot of this now. You're going to go put your head in the corner. I'm going to count to five.
No, just,
or maybe it's 10.
Or just get in the truck. So, and this is probably a loaded question, because I know you were there a long time. Can you remember any particular, like, funny stories or anything that happened at the stockyards that you would want to share?
Well, one night at horse sale, we were having the sale as usual, and the sale had to be stopped. Why was the sale stopped? Because Jerry had to go out in the back and separate his two young men, John and Jeff.
They were fighting?
They were fighting.
Oh, my goodness. And do we know why they were fighting?
I don't want to know. I never did know. Too mad to ask might be the question.
Well, I'm going to hate to see what happened to them once Dad broke them up. Oh, my goodness.
He just talked to them in language they understood.
Right, right.
Let's see. One time, a cow. So my brother was a little short dude. He was the auctioneer, and a cow jumped up in front of him, and as the cow finally got down. And he comes like a horoscope, like a
telescope,
and comes up and looks at the crowd. And it was so funny. I know that's not funny, going to be funny there, but it was hilarious. Then one time we had Mort. Mort was a, Mort Durbin.
I hear you've had some run-ins with skunks.
That was one of the things.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
Okay, so... Mort, we had a terrible issue with the skunks. And so Mort, one time at almost the end of the sale, as I recall it, and he would get the stuff that you fill the pop
CO2.
Machine, COT, yeah, CO2. And he squirted this skunk out the door, and that skunk went off.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are all these people in there and gagging. We were all, anyhow. That was another story.
That was that. Yeah, he probably wasn't high on the list after that, was he?
Not for a few days. But he was quite a guy. We liked him.
Well, I also understand that you and Jerry wrote a book together.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, this is the Cowtails and Recipes. And we wrote it on Sunday mornings. And we argued probably most of the day whether his words or my words were the best.
So how long did it take to compile this book?
Oh, it took a long time, and we tried different ways and never could get to anybody. And finally, Sky came up with a lady in Chandler who is actually the one that finally got it done for him.
So give me a rough estimate of how many years went into that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
when did he start writing Cowtails?
I don't even know.
Because he wrote them every Sunday.
Yeah, he wrote every Sunday,
You just decided to compile them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was on the radio with them every Sunday, or maybe it was Mondays.
No, I think it was Sunday at KREK.
Yeah, it was on KREK, and also they ran them in the newspaper. Okay. But I think we had to pay to get them in the newspaper.
So this book that you brought, is this something that I can take to the Historical Society for?
Yes.
Okay. We would like to preserve that.
Okay.
I think that's pretty neat.
Okay.
So before we get off of the stockyards, how long did you guys own and run the stockyards?
Just till 2 years ago. But let me tell you first.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you some stuff.
Yeah, no, tell me.
So Todd Hyatt, who was our auctioneer, who's now the corporation commissioner, he became a Speaker of the House while he was auctioning. And then Skye, who's my granddaughter, became a representative. Mm-hmm. But she came back on Saturdays and worked the sale, too. So those are two of the people of course, I've got grandkids now that have businesses here. Mm-hmm. So Bristow has been very good to my family.
That's good. That's neat. Is there anything?
Oh, yeah. And we had great Halloween parties.
See, I asked you about Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, this was later.
Yeah. Okay.
This was here.
Let's hear about it.
Okay, so we had, I don't know how we became like the center of whatever, because we were just plain old country people. But we had, everybody came. You know, we had the McMillans, we had the Kellys, we had all the people from downtown that had businesses.
The Mitchells.
The Mitchells. I mean, everybody
came to your house.
We had one at the house.
Okay.
And then we had some at the sale barn.
Okay.
And
so what went on at these?
Oh, we had spook houses and everybody dressed up, you know.
You had to come in costume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody did.
Well, that
everybody
like
went
fun.
In costume, yeah.
And there was a big dance. There was always a big dance.
Yeah.
So how many years did this go on?
Oh, we probably done it for 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. Well, yeah. That sounds like fun. Yeah. I never got invited.
No?
Well, the last one was when me and Jeff was dating.
Oh, okay.
And that was the last time we had.
Oh, okay.
And that was in 82.
Yeah, that's my dad died in 82.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's kind of
changed.
I guess it changed, or we just got older or something. But it was a... It was a great place for everybody to come, and everybody did. Didn't matter who you were,
right,
or what you did.
Right.
Oh, and one time, so we all, on your birthday, you got dumped in the water tank.
You didn't have a choice. You just went.
And
you didn't find it.
Well, you could find it.
It didn't matter.
Some people, one guy one time who was just a passerby, he said, well, they wouldn't dare do that to me. Well, guess what? That dude went in. And not only that, did you know LaVon Lane?
Oh, yeah.
She went in.
No
way.
Yes,
she did.
If it was your birthday and you were at the Subarn,
you went in.
It didn't matter if it was
anybody
January.
Get a picture of that? Because I cannot even imagine her being dunked in a tank.
And she laughed.
Well, good. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was all, everybody had fun, and it was all in fun. And
yeah.
There were a few people that got mad, I guess, but it really didn't make any difference
it didn't matter.
To the dunkers.
That's funny.
those that had birthdays in January to March, they would even break ice to put you in.
Oh, boy. I'd be glad that my birthday was in the summer then. So, you had the cell barns for 51 years?
Yes.
51 years? And what made you decide to finally to sell?
My kids were ready.
Kids were ready?
Mm-hmm.
But you're still out there, right?
Well, I'm still baking the cakes, but I'm not really out there.
Oh, okay. But you're still cooking.
I'm still cooking.
And she cooks lunch for us every day.
Another funny story.
Okay.
You know Dr. Chapman.
Uh-huh.
Did you know Benny Chapman?
I did not.
Okay, so that was their youngest son, and he worked at the sale barn. So one morning, Dr. Chapman, so it goes, went out to get his shoes, a pair of shoes, out of the garage. And he didn't have just a pair of shoes, but almost all of his shoes were in the garage with cow manure on them.
Oh, no.
Benny had worn a different pair all the time. And was Dr. Chapman mad?
Because he was trying to go to work, I'm guessing.
I'm assuming.
but all of his shoes have manure.
Ben had worn numerous. I don't know how many shoes Dr. Chapman had, but he wore numerous shoes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so let's talk about Jerry. When and where did you first meet him?
We met at Sepulpa, and he was there to rope, and I was there to run barrels.
So you didn't go to school together?
No. Okay. He went to Pretty Water.
Okay.
And then they went to California. Then we were back in school together, but we hadn't met yet.
Oh, okay. So in Sepulpa is where you met Jerry. Yeah. And can you tell me his full name?
Jerry Dean Varner.
Okay, and I have his birth date as 10/30/1936.
Yes.
Okay. So what was your first impression of him when you saw him?
I thought he was the cutest thing alive on a horse.
So did you actually meet him at a rodeo or?
Yes. Okay. Well, at a roping.
At a roping. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. He was sitting there with his Uncle John, so I come up and say, "Can I buy you a pop?"
So you made the first move.
I believe I did.
And stayed that way.
Oh, that's good. So can you tell us about your engagement? Did you get engaged? Did you have an engagement?
I don't think
period?
We really got engaged.
You just got married.
We just eventually, yeah, we date. He was the only one I ever dated.
Really?
Oh.
How long did you date before you got married?
Well, we were 16, and so that was. And then we were almost 18.
When you got married?
Uh-huh. Okay, we were seniors in high school.
So you got married when you were still in school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. What did your parents think about that? Were they okay with
that? I don't think, well, they were probably used to him by then. You know, I mean, we were always together.
Always together.
I don't think my dad was interested in me getting married.
At all or that?
At all.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mama cared.
So so where did you get married at?
In my mom and dad's house.
Okay. In Sepulpa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you tell us anything about your wedding, what your wedding was like?
It was just very simple. I wore a suit. My grandparents were there. Jerry's grandparents were there. Jerry's mom and dad, of course. Jerry's boss, who was Johnny somebody or other, was his best man, and my Aunt Leela was my maid of honor.
Oh, okay. So what were your, especially since you were young, what were your early years of marriage like?
Not always good.
So expand on that. What do you mean?
Well, one time, okay, so we were in a little house, and Jerry, for some reason, got mad at his aftershave, or this squirt stuff, this soap. And so he squirts it all in the bathtub. And I ain't going to clean it out. And he isn't either. I think it stayed that way for about 3 or 4 days. We finally had to break up, take a bath.
So you were both stubborn then?
We were both stubborn, yeah.
So how old were you when you... So how long were you married before you had kids?
1 year.
You, 1 year.
1 year and 1 week.
So what was it like for you as a young mother? What were some of your challenges?
I really didn't have any because I had lots of help. My mom was great help. Jerry's mom, you know, when I went to work with Sammy, Mama kept him.
So you had a very supportive family.
Oh, yeah, always supportive well, family helps. With on both sides.
So in the early days, was it like financially a struggle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were pretty broke.
Paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when did Jerry go to, was it the Navy? Army?
Army.
Army.
When Sammy was about two.
Okay, well, let's talk about your kids since you mentioned. Tell me how many kids you have and what their full names are.
Okay, Sammy Dean Varner. And he was born in 56.
Okay.
And
I have January 13th, 1956. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was my dad loved him and spoiled him. Probably the only big falling outs we would have had would have been over Sammy and my dad. Because his first three words. You want to hear it?
What?
Damn hell shitzes.
Say that again.
Damn hell shitzes.
And that was passed down.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's funny.
I don't know if you're going to put all this on there.
Oh, it's all going in there. But this is the kind of stuff that your family's going to love to preserve. The funny stories, all of it. The good, bad, you know.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Yeah. Okay, so what about your next child?
Okay, so then we had Johnny Dwayne Varner, of course.
And I have him as March 5th, 1960?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so he was the middle child and really very active and not at all like Sammy. He was bouncy off the counters, not everywhere. But he was real kind, sweet, and... I dressed him like a girl for a while because I thought I was going to have a girl. You know, it's going to be boy, girl, boy. And so Mama had made all these pretty clothes, and my aunt had sewed all these little booty things and the little sweaters like they used to do. Uh-huh. But anyhow, that didn't happen. He was a boy. And he had hair, real pretty hair when he was born. And Kay had Debbie at the same time. And she had no hair.
So, isn't that the way?
Yeah, so. And then after that, we had Jeff. And Jeff was a rotten little guy.
And so, what's his full name?
Jeffrey Joe Varner.
And I have his birth date is 10/9/1962?
Yes.
Okay. And so, tell us about Jeff.
Okay, so Jeff had, when he was little, everything had to match. The little Buster, I believe it was Buster Brown's or something. At that time, Mama probably bought most of the clothes for everybody. Mm-hmm. But he had his little shirt that had to match the pants, that had to match the socks. And he was just always a good kid until he got to be in high school.
And something happens when they turn about 17.
Yeah, so one night I was sitting up waiting on him, and I waited and I waited and I waited. And I waited, and he finally came in, and I said, "Son, where were you?" And he was over there with that girl's house, and I said, "Well, what did her parents say, you being over there so long?" He said, "They weren't home."
No.
That was not me.
It was not.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shoot. Anyway.
Okay, so maybe I should have asked, what were your challenges raising your children when they were teenagers? Not when they were kids.
I don't think we really had, my mom and dad were strict with us. Jerry, if he told the kids to jump on this table, they would have. And he wasn't mean. It was just, this is what you did.
An element of respect.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you didn't challenge.
Right.
One time, John and I think it was it Jeff and Sammy got into it. And so Jeff said, well, to Sam. Sam was the smallest, even though he was the oldest. And Jeff said, well, if you don't like what I say, just whip my ass. And Jeff said, and John and Sammy said, I would have a long time ago if I could have.
Can you imagine three boys?
Oh, well, and that was going to be one of my questions, was what were the challenges of raising three boys? But yeah. It sounds like you had a few anyway.
Yeah, well, a few, but they still
good,
got along.
Good boys.
Yeah.
Hardworking boys.
Right.
Yeah. So how many grandchildren do you have?
Seven.
Seven grandchildren. Do you want to name all of them?
Sure.
Okay.
Pokey.
Okay.
His name is Sloan.
Okay.
Sky. Joey. Jenny J. Samantha. Moo. Rain.
Okay. And then how many great-grandkids do you have?
14.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you feed everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. But I think that's why you're like a spry lady. Like, you stay busy all the time, don't you?
Well, I used to. If it wasn't for my girls, I wouldn't. I haven't mentioned our parties. We had Christmas parties
okay. For
my whole family. Not only did it include my family, my cousins, took Melody's family, her cousins, her kids, Cheryl's mother and dad, friends, like the Beaches used to be, they were friends for a long time. Of course, they've passed away. But anyhow, so we'd have it at the VFW.
So how many people are we talking? Probably maybe
150.
150 at least.
Okay. Yeah. And we bought presents for anybody 12 and under. And Santa was always there. And it was the same Santa.
Every year.
It was the same Santa. And of course, now that Santa can't do this anymore, we had quit it. But we quit during COVID anyway. Yeah. But Joey, at one time, we went somewhere and somebody was talking about Santa. And Joey said, yeah, but that's not the real Santa. Because our Santa was the real
Santa.
And it was Joe Sam.
That's awesome.
And he did it every year.
Oh,
every year.
That's awesome. Well, is there anything else that you would like to add that I have not thought to ask you about that's on your list?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, I've still got a few more questions. So,
okay.
And these might make you think a little bit. So,
okay.
So be ready. What would you consider to be the most important invention during your lifetime?
Invention?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sure as hell would be computers.
Or something.
I didn't say your favorite, the most important.
Oh, electricity.
Well, I mean, for you, I bet that was the
best it was.
Thing. Yeah, to have.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel the world is different now than whenever you were young, like a kid?
I don't think people are respected anymore. I don't like attitudes of kids at school. Are you wanting me the negative crap that I'm going
to
say?
Well, I want you to be. I mean, I want you to be honest. What your opinion is of how things are different, and maybe how you would like them to be better.
I just think that the family values have really gotten screwed up, and I think that we need to get back to the basic. Family togetherness. I don't like drugs and all of that stuff, although I've had that in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people respect each other enough.
So you basically think if we could get back to some of the old-fashioned values, that it might correct some of the stuff we have going on?
Oh, now. I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So along that line, what do you feel is our nation's biggest problem, and how do you think that can be solved?
I think there's a lot of corruption. I think that we spend... I think our senators, representatives, and all those people are spending way too much time making bills. I think they ought to go up there and whatever problems there are, solve a few and go home and go back to work and do something else, and not just make a total living off of being a representative. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about not only state, but nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that we've got a whole bunch of people, especially in Washington, that have made bukus of money, that they're say that they're rich. How did you get rich on $50,000 a year, or $60,000 or $75,000? Ain't no way, honey. So, in my, you know, I'm pretty plain spoken, but that's the way I feel.
That's why we appreciate you.
That's the way I feel.
I completely respect your opinion. So, how have historic events affected you? Say, for example, thinking back to, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, COVID, maybe any natural disasters. Can you think of any particular historic event that, like, maybe really affected your life?
Well, recently, of course, it was COVID. And I think that is the most disrupted, stupid thing that history has put us through. I don't believe it. I know there was COVID out there, but I think that a lot of it had to do with the way they were treated. And I think you can't lay on your back with COVID. And everything that you've seen, the patients were there, they were on their back.
Right. How did it affect your family personally?
It affected our sale barn.
Okay.
We had to mark it off, and people had to stand so far apart, and then that guy can only come in while his cattle were selling, and it was crazy.
A nightmare.
That was a nightmare.
We had to shut the catwalk completely down because people would gather on the catwalk, so we had to just shut that down. Okay. It was crazy.
So did you have any like family members that had COVID or sick or passed away from
it? Well, Jerry passed away in 17, but... Well, Sammy was in the hospital during COVID, and we didn't even get to go see him.
Right.
And he laid there for 3 weeks. You think that don't kill a person?
Oh, my goodness. Because he had COVID, or just because he was there for
no, he was
reason?
There. He was okay. There for his heart.
Okay.
But Sammy was a people person, and
they wouldn't even
and he died. And he died by himself. Mm. So that was a bad deal.
Yeah. Right.
The only other thing was John F. Kennedy's murder. I thought that was, and I still think that there's something there. Just same as I think now what happened last week, there's something there.
And tell us what happened last week.
Well, when Trump got his ear shot.
Okay, yeah, because I feel like that's going to be a pivotal going forward, a pivotal point in our history, too.
I think so.
And with the
person already, they already knew this guy was up on the roof, and then they said, guns down, and they went ahead and shot him. And then there's just a whole bunch of...
unanswered questions. And I think what's going to be interesting about this is, since we have your interview on tape of the beginnings of their investigation of it, it'll be interesting to see... in the future,
right.
How it ends up playing out. Okay, so is there anything else that you would like to tell us about, or any wisdom that you would like to share for future generations?
Love your family.
That simple, love your family. Okay, I like that.
That's it.
And before we close, I just want to ask too, because I know you're like the the matriarch of the family. And I think, as Cheryl said, everyone comes to you for business advice and life advice. And I like that it's as simple as love your family.
Thank you.
I like it. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we forgot to talk about or that I failed to ask you about? Cheryl, can you think of anything?
Anytime that we all work together. I mean, we all work together. And when we'd go on vacations, we would all go vacation together. We were always together.
Together.
Yes.
So
very close-knit family. Very close.
Well, and I think that lends to your advice of love your family. Having that strong family unit and support, that's what we're lacking, I think.
Yeah. And see, what I don't understand is, I have a friend, kind of, that isn't, their kids are not coming to see her like they should. And I don't know where that breakdown is.
Right.
I don't know what causes that. You know, I don't know if it's the mother or the kid. I don't understand.
Right.
What makes the kids not go to their mother.
Right. Well,
but we were raised, see, that way.
Right.
We were raised to respect and love your mother.
Well, I think you can attest to the fact that she's a strong woman that the glue of the family.
Yes.
I've always
told her that if she didn't like the way me and Melody turned out, it's her fault because she had us longer than her parents ever had us. So if they don't like us, it's because we, her example.
Oh, gosh. Her example. Well, that's awesome. Well, I think that is pretty much it for me today. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. Your interview will become an important part of our oral history archive for the museum. Okay. And we appreciate you and
thank you
very much.
Thank you.